I'm Joe Burke from PopX Cast, a proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all of our podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Jeffrey Mace. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren. Welcome to Legends of SHIELD, a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is show number 152. Discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 7, Deals with Our Devils. This show is recorded on Wednesday, November 30th, 2016. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage, I'm not doing the yell right now, on Netflix, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of scientifically impossible self-healing cars.
If you'd like to talk to us about scientifically impossible self-healing cars, you can contact us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
We also have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
We also have a Facebook page at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/gunnageek.
We are a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Okay, so you might notice we are minus somebody today. That's right, we have finally kicked SP off the island.
We're still going to make him do all the work. We're just not letting him hang out anymore.
Yeah, SP has stuff to do, important director stuff. So the inmates are ruling the madhouse today.
See how long it takes us to drive this bus off the rails.
I'm guessing not very long. But in the meantime, we still have the Marvel Crate giveaway.
Ooh, shiny.
Very. Are we talking Luke Cage or?
We're going to eventually at some point.
Okay, because it's on the thing and I'm like, well, I guess if we didn't talk it last time, are we?
Someone might have forgotten to update the document.
Okay. We're going to be talking Marvel news. We're going to be talking feedback. And we will not be talking highlights from the live chat room because we can't be bothered to do live stuff because that's SP's job.
It is so much work and we are not going to do it.
Yeah. So the Marvel Crate giveaway.
Yeah. As you might recall, if you listened to our Doctor Strange podcast, we announced that we're giving away a Doctor Strange crate, which was gifted to us by the anonymous donor.
Yeah. It has all sorts of nifty Doctor Strange stuff. And because it's Pop Funko, it's quality awesomeness.
Yeah.
In order to get it, what you need to do is tell us, what would you do in the mirror dimension?
And we need to know by December 14th. So you can send that to us on Twitter, Facebook, email, voicemail.
Yeah, anything that leaves a permanent account, because otherwise we will forget.
Right. Now, it's not an issue this week because we're not live, but in general, don't put it in the live chat because that is fleeting, and we will forget.
Yeah, it like tears in the rain. Yeah, we have one entry. It's from at Vorneet Bacon on Twitter. He sent in an MP4 to SP.
Welcome to my mirror dimension. Come on in and see what's happening. Pay the price. Get your tickets for the show. The stage is set, the band starts playing. Suddenly, your heart is pounding, wishing secretly you were Stargate Pioneer. Wait, what? That's not what I wrote. Oh, bugger it all. Fine. Let's get this over with. So, here it goes. My entry in Mirror Dimension Contest because Lauren needs a third mug. No, I totally did not say that. Okay, take three and go. Having access to the mirror dimension also assures access to other dimensions and the ability to, say, swipe things that you need. This is how I will gather what I require for what I wish to do, just as Steven collected the books he required for his research. I will build a fun house where the fun is mine to be had. The fun house will be populated by mannequins. Mannequins dressed as cheerleaders. Mannequins delivering pizza. Mannequins wearing lab coats with rat masks. And finally, wait for it, mannequins dressed as clowns. Creepy, creepy clowns. Semi-creepy clowns, super creepy clowns, maybe even killer clowns from outer space. Once the funhouse is completed, the time has come to have some fun. Required some supplies include 6 Beretta 92 pistols, Neo's lobby scene in The Matrix, 1 short-barreled lever-action shotgun, Arnold's weapon of choice in T2, 1 tactical compound bow, preferably with explosive arrow tips, Hawkeye, 6 throwing knives, 3 on each wrist, and my katana. Now, dressed as a SHIELD agent, already covered, I strap on my arsenal and go maximum effort, Deadpool style. Goal? Kill the clowns. Runs will be timed, penalties assessed for missed clowns and every lab rat or pizza hit. Delivery personnel and cheerleaders are free, unless a pizza gets dropped. Then the penalty depends on if it falls box open or box closed. Think about it. This is quite the workout, and I'm gonna need some pizza. Now, all I need is someone to reset it for the next round. What do you mean I ran long? I've been called a lot of things, but long? Yeah, that's not what... Oh, really? Now you're playing me out? Well, isn't that just typical of you rocket scientist type?
That sounds very complicated.
Yeah, but fun. I mean, why not build a complicated, awesome live-action video game if you have a completely consequence-free dimension?
I expected more debauchery, honestly.
Well, then again, we told them PG-13.
Right, but you can do a lot of debauchery at PG-13.
Well, there were mannequins dressed as cheerleaders.
Yeah, okay.
That's like some debauchery.
So, by December 14th, let us know how you're going to compete with Born to Eat Bacon in the Mirror Dimension.
Yes. And we should note, this giveaway is not sponsored, not, N-O-T, not, double underline, sponsored by Marvel Pop Funko Benedict Cumberbatch or anyone else.
But we don't know who the mysterious benefactor is.
Dun dun dun.
It's Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, it's actually Bandersnatch Cummerbund. Last night's episode was Deals with Our Devils. It's the 7th episode of season 4, directed by Jesse Bochco, who has directed a bunch of episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before, including 4,722 Hours, Watch Dogs. He's directed 6 episodes in total. And a bunch of episodes of things like Dallas, the new one, not the old one. NYPD Blue, his dad is Stephen Bochco. And it was written by Daniel J. Doyle, who is a production staff writer on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and has done production staff stuff on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for 21 episodes and has actually written 18 episodes, or is credited with writing 18 episodes as either a writer, executive story editor, etc., including things like Good Samaritan, Lockup, Things We Bury, Melinda, bunch of episodes there. Okay. And he also was worked on like things like Heroes.
Yep. So let's start as we always do. What is the meaning of Deals with Our Devils?
Well, there's like, okay, I keep thinking of Futurama, make a metaphorical deal with the devil. And by devil, I mean robot devil. And by metaphorical, I mean get your coat. Except it's not the robot devil. It's the Ghost Rider devil. And Robbie actually does make a deal with it, and it's a terrible idea.
Yep, this is going to end really well for everybody, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's my prediction for the season.
And of course, there's also May agreeing to like open the book when Coulson told her not to, and
yep.
Again, that's going to end well.
Yep, Ada totally isn't an evil robot now.
Yeah, she's totally not an evil robot now. Oh, and then, of course, Simmons, well, Mace, really, letting Simmons go and look at that congresswoman's brother while he's in his inhuman cocoon. And of course, that's not coming to bite anyone in the ass later.
Nope.
This episode is just full of things that will totally not come back to bite everyone in the ass later.
Nope. Everyone is making very good decisions.
Oh, yes. Completely good, well-thought-out adult decisions.
That is not what's happening.
No, not at all. We are being very sarcastic.
We'll use our Sarcastica font.
Daisy's kind of being a team player again.
I know. I like that we've reached the point in the series where you should be believing impossible things are happening, and Daisy's the only one that's caught on.
She's like, Robbie's head lights on fire. He might not be dead. And everyone's like, nope, nope, we can't see them anymore. They're dead. It's like, remember the time that we brought Simmons back from another planet?
And when Coulson came back from the dead.
And when Grant was possessed by this weird alien inhuman god thing.
Yeah, and oh, we've been dealing with ghosts all season, so.
Yeah. We have a book that was like literally written by the devil.
Right. It reminds me of, I think it was like a season 4 episode of Stargate SG-1 where, you know, they've been around a few times. They should expect weird things to be going on. And Daniel starts acting really weird and they're like, nope, he must be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's totally some alien device thing affecting him. Like,
yeah,
come on, guys.
At this point, if you see something weird going on, don't go into denial. Go, oh, a weird thing is going on.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Occam's razor is out the window.
Right.
Just throw away Occam's razor.
This is like Occam's multi-tool.
Yeah. It's like, okay, throw away the razor, and now we are onto the corkscrew.
Because weird stuff is going on, and you should expect weird stuff to continue going on, and not expect simple solutions to these problems.
Yeah.
But Daisy's on it. She's got it.
Daisy's got it.
She read the script.
She was the only one.
Okay, speaking of script, did you get the sense that maybe they had planned to tell, like, the entire story from one side and then the entire story from the other side?
Not really, because, okay, just from a storytelling standpoint, unless you're doing something incredibly remarkable with the storytelling, the audience is going to get bored seeing the exact same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have a way to move the story forward at the same time that you're doing that.
The only reason I thought that is because the way they shot the reveal of Mac turning into the Ghost Rider looked like it was supposed to be a surprise. But we knew that already because we saw the Ghost Rider go into him.
Good point. I'm wondering if maybe the editing there was supposed to have been different.
I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, so Mac got inhabited by the Ghost Rider.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Because apparently demonic spirits don't like being caught in between dimensions.
Yeah, well, because the Ghost Rider knew what was going down, that eventually they were all going to end up pulled down to hell, I guess, is the implication that was made. And that is not a place he wanted to go. Not again.
Yeah, pulled down to other dimensions. If they're in between dimensions, it's entropy is pulling them toward a certain point. You know, equilibrium is balancing to this side of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And Ghost Rider does not want to be on that side of the equation at the moment. Mac ends up as a flaming skull at one point.
Also, that big of a guy with a flaming skull, kind of intimidating.
Very much so. Also, I feel a little bit cheated that we did. I was so hopeful when I realized what this means. Flaming shotgun axe. We didn't actually see it.
Aw.
I was so disappointed. That was all I wanted out of this episode once I realized what was going on.
I really feel like they haven't made good use of the shotgun axe.
They're trying. And the fact that they've moved to a later time slot means they can get a little more out of it. But that really is a weapon that needs, you know, a higher rating. But hey, they're trying. Oh, Mac is so sad. They're like, oh, the Ghost Rider when he's talking to Robbie slash himself from Daisy's point of view. He's like, oh, all this despair. I will feed off of all this delicious despair. And it's like, we know Mac has been getting more and more disillusioned over the course of the last, like, season and a half. And this just confirms it, and it makes me so upset.
Is he going to turn against S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is that where this is heading?
I don't know if he's turning against S.H.I.E.L.D., but he is definitely following a slightly different agenda now, I think.
Yeah.
Now that he's had kind of a taste of, you know. But yeah, Robbie bargains with the Ghost Rider to get it out of Mac. Presumably, Robbie was raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he wasn't, it is not a good idea to make bargains with evil otherworldly things on fire. It's just, it's never a good idea.
You say that. It could totally work out fine, I think. Everything is going to come up, Robbie.
The only time I've ever seen it work out okay is on an episode of Metalocalypse where they bargained with the Crossroad Devil and came out with 5% of the back half of the devil's soul and gave him, like, a gift certificate to Hot Topic.
Okay.
That is the only time I've ever seen a deal with the devil go okay for the other person, not the devil.
I see that.
Metalocalypse is fantastic. But anyway.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Oh,
good
no, that was
point.
Death. That was death,
yeah,
not the devil.
Yeah, that was death. That was okay. Death. Also, that movie scared me so much.
I didn't know it existed until, like, 2 years ago.
Oh, no.
I'd seen Excellent Journey, like, I have no idea how many times. Or Excellent Adventure. And then It was like, yeah, the second one is okay, too. I was like, second one? What? What?
I remember the commercial for it when I was a kid. And in the commercial, the robot Bill and Ted pull open their faces. And that horrified me. So I didn't see the movie for years and years up until I was in, I don't know, maybe middle school. And by then, I wasn't as scared of it anymore. At the time, that made just a horrifying impression.
I could see that.
Yeah. I was scared of everything as a kid. Speaking of which, Daisy stealing Robbie's car with Ghost Robbie inside. She's like, it'll fix. And he's like, only when I'm the Ghost Rider.
And he's like, mad, excited.
Yeah, that was actually kind of adorable. And he's like backseat driving inaudibly the whole time.
Right? Well, and as soon as she, like, for a while there, you know, we didn't see him in the car because it was told from her point of view. And we mm-hmm. see it scrape along the car. I'm like, ooh, Robbie's going to be so pissed.
He was.
He did, then he was.
Yeah, and then him, like, criticizing her driving, he's like, keep going, and she's like, no. Also, ghosting around everywhere, Coulson and Fitz trying to get everyone to hear them and seeing what's going on, and Fitz realizing that Mace is making a deal with that congresswoman.
Coulson realizing they look dumb when they're on the comms.
Do we look that dumb?
What are they doing?
Coulson making puppy eyes at May the whole time.
Oh. I almost expected him to kiss her when they came back from the dead.
Seriously. If you were to rank episodes by the Felinda content in it, this would be in, like, the top three, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we know what direction the ratings have been going, so if they plan on doing anything with that, sooner would probably be better.
Yes. Speaking of which, their whole, like, I don't know if we'll be seeing Robbie again. And there, I know there's rumors that they might, you know, do a Ghost Rider thing for Netflix mm-hmm. or in the movies or something.
I think Netflix would probably be a good place for that since they don't have to worry about, like, what it's rated.
Yeah, you could go full on setting people on fire.
Yeah. And not necessarily all evil people, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know. He doesn't really control this thing as well as he might think he does, and things happen.
Yeah.
Okay, so the biggest thing that we probably haven't really talked about is Ada using the Darkhold.
Yes.
Reading Darkhold and then using it
to make a Stargate.
Yep. Okay, so how similar was that supposed to look to Doctor Strange? Because it was, like, similar.
Very similar.
But not exactly like what we'd seen.
I don't know if it's because it's, like, interpreted through her, or if it's just because this is what they're working with, or what. It's like the same visual language, but different handwriting.
It's like if you asked a computer to write a poem.
That's it, exactly. If you asked a computer to write a poem.
It is technically correct, but it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird and lacking, like, the flowy nuance.
Mm-hmm.
But they, yeah, they still managed to open up a gateway to another dimension. And yeah.
And also, Coulson almost got sucked down by the big blacky thing.
Yes.
Of evil.
I really thought that May was going to like reach in and grab him, but.
Yeah.
No, they.
Well, I almost expected him to tell Fitz, let me go, save yourself. But I guess he's over that part of his life and.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna live.
No, you bring the ship back and you save me.
Oh, R.I.P. Ron Glass.
Oh.
2016 is the worst.
It's supposed to be a second longer, too. It's like, this year just won't end.
I know. It's, this year's terrible.
Except for my sweet new job. Other than that.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
Okay. And, okay, so then we get to the very end, and Ada is making a new glowy brain.
Yes, that's, you know, Dr. Batty is all singing, which, by the way, was making me giggle because there was a Spartacus marathon going on the Stars Free weekend. This weekend. So I was just on Saturday watching Spartacus nonstop and then back to here and he's wearing like normal people clothes and he's not cussing every other word. And so that was a bit of cognitive dissonance. And then he's playing the guitar and writing songs about robots.
But singing it in like a old bluesy fashion.
And then Ada is making a brain.
Yeah.
This is in no way going to go poorly.
I think it might.
Yeah. We need to set up something to go bad for the next half of the season.
Right.
And I think it's going to be Evil Robot.
Evil Robot versus Ghost Rider.
Which would be pretty cool.
All right. I'm not understanding exactly how the book turns people evil. Does it like possess them with evil spirits or awaken evil impulses?
I know what they said was that it was just like too much for the human brain to process. So I'm trying to put it in words, and I know there's a phrase that goes with this, but right now all I can think of is that Kanye West song, Power. You know, that no one man should have all that power.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like people going like mad with power, like, oh my God, I can do anything. I know everything. I can do anything now. And I'm wondering if it's just for certain type of people, like the people who are ambitious enough to want to go looking into this, that it like double awakens that ambition in them.
I can see that.
I don't know. Or it could just be an evil book written by the devil.
Right.
And the devil is putting his evil inside of them with words. I mean, that is in all likelihood just as possible.
Any other thoughts?
Fitz being like, oh my God, they're going to tell Simmons I'm dead and freaking out about it was so upsetting. It was just like, and, oh my heart. And then them reuniting at the end.
Yeah.
Just, oh, so sweet.
And then I've got some quotes.
Okay.
My axe is plenty sharp and a shotgun.
That axe is amazing.
Driving off against orders with no helmet. And settle my score. And I'll settle yours. All of yours.
Again, this will in no way turn out poorly.
In every way, dude. Don't do it.
Stop making deals with devils. So, the big news, speaking of, you know, TV shows and ratings and possible endings and stuff, you know how the Inhumans movie was up in the air for a long time?
Yeah.
So it was announced on November 16th that Inhumans, you know, focusing on the royal family and all, is coming to IMAX and ABC in 2017, i.e. the first two episodes will be airing on IMAX for a two-week window in late summer 2017 prior to network run.
Mm-hmm.
So in the fall, we are getting an Inhumans series.
And there has been speculation that this might be replacing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, which in some ways would kind of make sense given the direction that the series is going.
Mm-hmm.
Like they really have been focusing more on the Inhumans and everything. And if the season wraps up with enough, you know, loose ends tied and them meeting the royal family and everything, I think I'm actually okay with that.
I am too. I think I said this last podcast, but I feel like four seasons is a good run for this type of show. Really for any show, but especially for a genre show.
Yeah. As long as they get to go out on their own terms.
Right.
I'm kind of at peace with it. And let's face it, right now, there's so much Marvel stuff coming out that it's not like, oh my God, this was our only show and now it's gone.
Right. And there's so much superhero stuff on TV, too.
Yeah. Am I going to miss the characters if they're not on every week? Yes. But hey, there's no rule that says that they can't and won't cameo in Inhumans. I mean, I'm betting we'll probably see Chloe Bennett show up every now and then, if not be a series regular.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have to see, and I'm looking forward to it.
And it might open the door to allow these characters to start cameoing in the movies and the other Netflix shows as well.
Which would be cool.
Yep.
Speaking of more Marvel shows, there are new Defenders set photos, this time focusing on Luke and Claire, and there's also some with Jessica and Trish.
I like to think that the picture of Jessica and Trish is them seeing Luke and Claire.
That would be actually amazing. Like, can you believe this?
Because really, the look on Jessica's face, it would be perfect.
Just really, really.
Seriously, guys.
And of course, Misty's also there.
And also, Mike Coulter is holding up a very large piece of, like, wall or something.
Yeah. It's probably made of foam.
Well, yeah.
Basically, very good-looking people in Marvel. I'm happy. Again, it is a good time to be a Marvel fan right now.
Unless you're a Christian film critic.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, again, if you are religious, all respect to you. But there's some stuff that's really, really funny. Such as a Christian film critic named Dr. Ted Baer, B-A-E-H-R, who is slamming Doctor Strange. Quote, Doctor Strange is a dangerous introduction to demonic occult deception. Also in the movie, the hero's new age occult guru teaches that there may be no afterlife, that death is truly the end, and that this is a good thing. Okay?
Okay.
This is a comic book movie.
Also, they made it pretty obvious up front that this was going to deal with the occult. Like, what did you expect going into this?
Although this does remind me of that tweet. It's from Jaden Smith, whose Twitter account is just a gem. But he, after Doctor Strange came out and he saw it, he was like, I'm going to live my life by this movie. And some comic. No, I remember who it was. It's the guy that directed. He directed a bunch of music videos back in like the 90s and 2000s. And then he directed Detention.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, Will, keep an eye on your kid. Again, if you believe in mainstream religion, cool. If you believe in new age religion, cool. But this is a comic book movie. There was a website that I used to love to go to when I was in college, and it's fallen by the wayside. But it was this website where these super fundamentalist Christians would review movies. And it was by things like, you know, how many times, you know, foul language was used. And my favorite was that, you know, the F word was called the foulest of foul words. And me and my friends started using that. And, of course, their criteria for what was, you know, obscene was incredibly, incredibly strict. And again, you know, if you don't choose to watch that, I mean, good for you, but just the way that it was just very, very kind of self-righteous about it was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, this article was on a Geeky Tyrant linking about that, and they made a note, please keep the comments positive. Remember, people are entitled to their opinions and their religion, and this is a movie.
Yep.
And if you find yourself able to practice magic and jump to different dimensions after watching the movie, please let me know, because I don't know how I missed that. And I would like to, you know, be able to teleport to other places. And if you have gained enlightenment through this movie enough to do that, tell us your secret, man.
Okay, so continuing on with Doctor Strange, it's setting some records already in the box office. It has surpassed $600 million worldwide, making it Marvel's highest grossing first solo installment. The previous record holder being Iron Man at $585 million worldwide.
So, Sherlock versus Sherlock.
Yeah, right now it's $616 million globally. And it's in what? Its third week in theaters?
I think so. I don't remember time.
That what is right. time?
What year is it? Oh, I can remember what year it is because everything is terrible. Yeah, I think it's in about its third week.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And that puts it at ninth overall of all the Marvel movies out of the 14 they've released so far.
That's pretty good.
And it is almost surely going to overtake Iron Man 2 and Thor the Dark World because it's only 20, 30 million behind each of those.
Let's see, more Marvel movie stuff. Angela Bassett has joined Black Panther as T'Challa's mom. So that's going to be awesome because Angela Bassett is awesome.
That, the cast of that movie, holy crap.
Right? It's amazing. Everybody in this movie is awesome.
Yep.
And yeah, Angela Bassett is fantastic. And that reminds me, I also need to watch the last season of American Horror Story.
I have watched zero episodes of that show.
It's good if you want something really, really cheesy. But Angela Bassett starts showing up in the season where they're all the witches. And she's really good. Like, she's fantastic. But then again, she's always fantastic. And I guess our final news story for the week is the secret Deadpool Guardians of the Galaxy character exchange, which is less exciting than it sounds. Fox had to trade Ego the Living Planet to Marvel in exchange for the rights to alter the on-screen powers of Negasonic Teenage Warhead. You may have heard me rant about how Negasonic Teenage Warhead's powers in the comic were different. She's a psychic instead of, you know, having the power to explode things.
Mm-hmm.
And to make the change, Fox reportedly gave Ego back to Marvel so that Marvel would be okay with that. And we're going to see Ego the Living Planet, apparently as played by Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Which we'll see on May 5th, 2017.
Yeah. And according to this article, and yes, this is true, Negasonic Teenage Warhead takes her code name from a song by Monster Magnet, who also recorded a song called Ego the Living Planet.
It's all connected.
Yes, hashtag it's all connected. It's all Monster Magnet's fault.
All right, well, that's what we had to say. Let's hear what our wonderful listeners had to say. And first up, we have a voicemail from Adam.
Hey guys, it's Adam calling in with feedback on this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I like the structure with the sort of alternating acts where they're the same action, but in one you see Coulson, Fitz, and Robbie, and in the other you don't. It sort of reminds me of Trax from season one in the way that was structured, where they all started from more or less the same point, but then each act went a little further. As for the rest of the episode, having Ghost Rider Mac for an episode was pretty cool, with his Terminator reload on the shotgun axe and Ghost Rider being on a motorcycle, which is the more traditional portrayal of the character. And that reveal that he had someone named Hope that he lost somewhere in the last 10 years. I'm tempted to say a daughter, but it's just a sort of off the top of my head guess. We'll have to see how that plays out. And yeah, Ada building herself a magic quantum brain, that's not going to backfire at all in the back half of the season, is it? Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
I see that Adam got the memo about using sarcasm for this episode.
Yeah, he did bring up, and we didn't bring this up, Mac has a photo with 41806 on the back. I don't remember anything about it previously, but there it is.
Would that have been when the Avengers were in New York? No, that was in 2012.
No.
Nope.
Yeah.
That was before any of the movies came out. Okay. I don't know what that could be.
I mean, I guess it could be like a kid, and that could be like their birthday, and then that kid died later, but
Or it's that's when the picture was taken is in 2006. So whatever happened after that.
We'll see. At Adonna Girl on Twitter brought up, like we mentioned earlier, Ron Glass died, you know, Shepherd Book from Firefly. And I completely forgot he was also in an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back in season one. At Adonna Girl.
Oh, yeah. He was the scientist.
Ron Glass's character was the only one who spoke up against what Fury did to Coulson on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. R.I.P. Ron Glass. Sad face. So, yeah. R.I.P. Ron Glass.
The nerd world is in mourning. Any other tweets you wanted to share from your live tweeting, perhaps?
Everyone who was live tweeting back with me was on point. Again, Christy at Adonna Girl. Now we need a race between Lola, Robbie's car, and Mac's bike. At Star Saber, Black Adam. Did Max do a Terminator reload on the shotgun axe? If he did, I missed it, but that would be really awesome. SP said, good old Nathan B. Nathanson, and you doubted me.
Again, I have not heard that his first name is Nathan, only that his last name is Nathanson.
Think that's about it.
All right.
Next time we record, next week, we will be discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 8, The Laws of Inferno Dynamics. I see what you did there, title.
Ha, clever.
You can find our live streams whenever we record live at www.geeks.live. And you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
We also have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. 844-843-2871.
And our Facebook, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast.
You can also find us on Twitter, where we're at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Our Tumblr, which I need to update more often, which is legendsofshield.tumblr.com.
We have a YouTube channel, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or you can go to youtube.com/gunnageek, where you'll find all of the podcasts, video podcasts on the network.
That's probably the best one.
Yeah.
And again, you can go to gunnageek.com and find all of the shows on the Gunna Geek Network. And I guess that's it. Thank you for everyone who gets a hold of us on Twitter, who sends us news and feedback. And remember that we have you have until December 14th to send in your What Would You Do in the Mirrorverse entry to win the Doctor Strange box.
Right. And make sure to send us Twitter, Facebook message, email, voicemail, something that we'll have a record of so that we'll know that you sent it and we won't forget, because we will forget.
And I guess that's it for now.
Yeah.
All right.
Until next time, I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Okay, so I'm looking up because we forgot to do this.
We are prepared.
We are so prepared. The deals with our devils.
Okay. On to the news.
News.
Bumpity bump bump bump. Again, I have not heard that his first name is Nathan, only that his last name is Nathanson.
Think that's about it.
All right. How do we end the show?
So, I guess next time we record, next week.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2016.